Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another wonderful show, the 248th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at SoccerNewsDay.com and locally on the New York Red Bulls as well on FansFavorite.com. Come on in. Chat room is open. Talk amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer to the best of my ability as possible. And today, a very abbreviated Feuerstein's Fire, as I'm only allotted 2 hours. So 1 hour today, and then 1 hour later tonight, as the United States will be taking on Panama in the final group stage match in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And that will be joined later tonight by both Jake Dudinsky and Carter Krishnayer from World Soccer Talk. So just want to get this show out of the way so we can talk about, of course, what's been going on with the national team. NASL segment with Carter Krishnayer will not be on with me this afternoon. He has something that just came up, so that's okay. Not a big deal. And, of course, the Red Bull segment, which will be 30 minutes long, so we will not have any guests outside of the NASL or outside of the New York Red Bulls. But I want to talk about this, though. Two games with the national team, the U.S. men's national team, this CONCACAF Gold Cup. We have seen a lot of interesting performances by some of these national teams that are fighting very hard and fighting very, very interesting when it comes to this Gold Cup. We have seen an entire group B almost get every single match a draw. How do you like that? We're seeing a lot of draws from these games. Look what happened last night in Group C with Mexico and Guatemala. Obviously, Guatemala sent off to go down to 10 men. But my goodness, what in the world is going on in this Gold Cup? The United States not playing the way they should, and they squeak out results coming out of the blue. So what does this mean for this confederation? Well, I think it means something where you're seeing results not going certain teams' way. You're seeing, I would like to think, this confederation growing up tremendously. Because look at what's going on with Costa Rica right here. Costa Rica, at the moment, are not getting the results that they should be getting after having a solid performance in the FIFA World Cup last summer. Costa Rica right now, very, very, shall we say, difficult to watch because, very simply, they should be doing a lot better. They had a 2-2 draw against Jamaica. Now, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. A 2-2 draw, not bad at all to see what both Jamaica has done and how they've performed. Canada with a 0-0 draw with El Salvador. Okay, Canada, it's off to a good start. That's all right. But when you see Jamaica pull off a last-minute goal, a last-minute, oh, my God, I cannot believe there's an actual goal here. They get 3 points, and it's off to the races they go. That is what I'm talking about when you're saying that CONCACAF is growing up. And even though CONCACAF has been growing up. The real question is, what's going to happen in the knockout stage? Tonight starts Group A, tomorrow's Group B, and then Wednesday is Group C, which means that these will be the last games being played in this CONCACAF Gold Cup group stage. Really quickly, the United States has 6 points. Both of them were wins, a 2-1 victory over Honduras, and a slim 1-0 victory over Haiti. Panama, 2 points. Excuse me, Honduras with a point and Haiti with a point. So at this moment, second and third place are up for grabs. It all depends on what's going to happen and what might happen with goal difference. So we'll see what happens there. Group B, Jamaica with 4 points with a win and a draw. Costa Rica in second place with two draws. And that, you know, getting two draws again, you know, like I said, getting that second draw against El Salvador is not something that they were looking for. Getting that draw against El Salvador by the Ticos goes to show you that they are in trouble, and Canada, of course, in last place with a point. And that's going to mean that it's a big match for Canada at BMO Field when they take on Costa Rica. It's going to be a huge match for Canada and for all Canadians out there that want to see them perform. Trinidad Tobago already advancing to the quarterfinals. Two solid performances against Guatemala and Cuba. Mexico right now in second place with 4 points. That draw does not help them much. And Mexico will be taking on Trinidad and Tobago, and we'll see what happens here. Because the truth of the matter is that Trinidad and Tobago are already into the quarterfinals. They don't really need to win this match unless they want to win the group. Because the draw will help them win the group. What we're seeing right now, ladies and gentlemen, is a CONCACAF Gold Cup that means that certain people or certain teams have improved. They've improved. Now, I don't know how tremendously they've improved, but right now it's going to show you that this Gold Cup has shown to be very difficult. And that's what you're looking for when you're seeing an entire confederation. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Yawned there for a minute. Sorry about that. But as I was trying to say, we shall see what's going to happen when an entire confederation improves. Now, obviously, there's still more work to be done. But once again, this confederation improved. Do I think it's improved the proper way? Nah, not really. I mean, you want to see goals. You want to see people or these national teams improve in a better way. But once again, it's competitive. And that's what you want out of this confederation. Because when World Cup qualifying begins for the higher-ranked nations of CONCACAF, you're going to see a lot of interesting football. I think we've already gotten it in World Cup qualifying so far in the first two rounds. Of course, don't forget, everyone, the draw for the third round and the semifinals and the and when we get to the hexagonal will be very soon, but that'll be on July 25th. But I'm telling you right now, I think at this moment, defensively, or even maybe a little bit better, it's improved. Is it improved all the way? Absolutely not. More needs to happen. And let's be honest with ourselves right now. I think after everything that this confederation has gone through, and it's not just talking about improvements of this confederation called CONCACAF, we have to talk about, as always, the FIFA corruption scandal, most of it that happened in our backyard. I think this Gold Cup right now is the start of the healing process. This confederation needs to be healed very badly because of everything that they have gone through. This confederation needs to be healed. It needs to be cleaned up as well. And the cleaning up has already gotten started by Miss Loretta Lynch, who has done a great job. Now the DOJ head, I think she's, you know, this is the start of something new and something wonderful. But only time will tell if whoever's going to be running this confederation is an honest man. An honest man or an honest woman, depending on who is running the confederation. But the truth of the matter is, we need honest people to finally stand up and say, this will no longer be happening. And that's what we need. Very, very badly. And I'll say it, desperately. Hopefully we will have these issues fixed and this confederation will improve and this confederation will be better and at the same level as the top two confederations of UEFA and CONMEBOL. But at the same time, CONMEBOL has their own issues as well with corruption. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just got to go out there and try and make everything better as fast as possible. I'll tell you right now, I'm hoping to see people to be voted in and hopefully we'll see what's going on. And you know what's interesting, though? What's interesting now is that the U.S. government, Congress, is going to have a hearing about this FIFA corruption. And I believe it's going to be sometime this week. I believe this Wednesday. I could be wrong. And we're going to have members of U.S. soccer there and answering questions and everything. And, you know, it should be an interesting thing. It should be an interesting thing to see what the questions that Congress is going to ask General Secretary Dan Flynn and other people that are in the business of soccer. I don't think it's going to be as drastic as when the baseball questions were being asked to the players about steroids and everything, or what Major League Baseball did with the union head and everything, and you know, because this was America's pastime. I think what we're going to see in this hearing is a lot of questions. Now, there might be some congressmen, senators, that might have some knowledge of the game. I don't think all of them will have the knowledge of the game, but they will be asking the questions. And I really believe that we got a situation here. Just to see them ask these questions, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch and see how Mr. Flynn is going to react. So, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen in these types of situations in Washington, D.C. And if I catch one congressman in the D.C. scarf, I'm going to go and not vote for them. I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that. I'm only joking around about that, folks. Don't worry. We're going to have a lot of – we'll see what happens. We'll see what the situation will be. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's go straight to the NASL segment, obviously. Carter Krishnar unable to join me this afternoon, but he will be with me later tonight for the Gold Cup final group stage game post-game show. The USA will take on Panama later tonight. You can watch that tonight on Fox Sports 1 live at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Central. So let's go ahead and review this round of games. As everyone knows, One World Sports is now going to officially broadcast NASL games on midweek days, on Wednesdays. So that first match was on July the 8th as the Carolina RailHawks hosted the Fort Lauderdale Strikers over at Wake Med Soccer Park. It was Neil Halavity in the 53rd minute that made it 1-0 for Carolina, but then Stefano Pinho for Fort Lauderdale pulls one back in the 77th minute, and that would be it. Only a 1-1 draw here at Wake Med Soccer Park on July the 8th. Final score, Carolina RailHawks 1, Fort Lauderdale Strikers 1. And then the action got back hot and heavy on Saturday, July the 11th. The New York Cosmos were off that this week, so they get their break. Atlanta Silverbacks defeating the Jacksonville Armada by a 0-0. Michael Reed in the 60th minute gets that tally for the Silverbacks. And in the 90th minute for Lucas Scaglia, he gets sent off in the 90th minute. And that would be the end of that. Jacksonville ends that match with 10 men as the Silverbacks get an important 3 points here. Final score, Atlanta Silverbacks 1, Jacksonville Armada 0. A big draw for the FC Edmonton over at Lockhart Stadium as the Fort Lauderdale Strikers gets a draw at home, a draw they did not want after getting that draw over in Cary, North Carolina. Walter Ramirez in the 68th minute puts the Strikers ahead 1-0, but 4 minutes before second half stoppage time, Josh Ford for the Strikers puts the ball into his own net by accident, of course. It's an own goal given to the FC Edmonton, and they level the match at one, but with help from the Strikers and Josh Ford. So Fort Lauderdale Strikers 1, FC Edmonton 1, as that one probably really hurt. That could have been a four-point week for Fort Lauderdale. Becomes a two-point week. They didn't want to lose those 2 points. The resurgence of the Indy 11 continues under the management of interim head coach of Tim Regan. Carolina RailHawks did go ahead in the 42nd minute by a goal from Austin Deleuze, and they keep the lead at the halftime whistle. But here comes the Indy 11, Wojcik in the 54th minute, and then Eric Norales makes his tally 2 minutes later, and it ended up being 2-1 for the Indy 11 over the Carolina RailHawks. Final score once again, Indy 11-2, Carolina RailHawks 1. It was a 1-1 draw over at the National Sports Stadium Center over in Blaine, Minnesota, as Minnesota United draws with the Ottawa Fury with a 1-1 tally. 32nd minute, it would be Minnesota United's Christian Ramirez who would get the opening goal of the match, and that lead would stay at halftime. Throughout the second half, many chances from both sides. Tom Heineman with a goal himself in the 75th minute for Ottawa, and this match ended in a 1-1 draw. Final score in this one, Minnesota United FC 1, the Ottawa Fury 1. And finally, look out, San Antonio. Maybe this is the start that they needed in the fall season to kick start how they won their Soccer Bowl championship last year. 3-0 over the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Marvin Chavez gets the opening goal in the 11th minute for San Antonio, and they keep that lead at the halftime whistle. But it's Omar Cummings who adds on to the score sheet here. First goal of the match in the 54th minute. Second goal of the match for him in the 62nd. 3-0 altogether. The Scorpions take out the Rowdies, and it's just something you thought was going to happen finally. – And there it is. Final score. San Antonio Scorpions 3, Tampa Bay Rowdies 0. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the standings in the North American Soccer League. We start off once again with the fall standings with a four-way tie on points. We have FC Edmonton in first place with 4 points, with a goal differential of a plus four. Ottawa Fury in second place with a goal differential of a plus two. Carolina Railhawks in third place with a plus one, and they've scored two more goals than Indy 11 have, so they have 5 on the goals scored. Indy 11 in fourth place with, of course, 3 goals scored, and right now they are in fourth. In fifth place, we have Atlanta Silverbacks with 3 points. We also have San Antonio with 3 points and Tampa Bay with 3 points, 5, 6, 7. Atlanta even on the differential. San Antonio with a minus one in sixth, and the Tampa Bay Rowdies with a minus two in seventh. Eighth place, Fort Lauderdale Strikers with the 2 draws, 2 points. The New York Cosmos and Minnesota United FC tied for ninth. Cosmos with a point with an even differential. Minnesota United with a minus two on the differential for a point. And the Jacksonville Armada have lost their first 2 games of the fall season. So they have already in 2 matches played, 2 losses. They have been scored on 3 times, and they are at a minus 3 on the differential. So now we go to the combined standings for, of course, the playoffs. And at this time combined, Tampa Bay Rowdies with 22 points in first place. The New York Cosmos, who didn't play this weekend, in second place right now with 21 points. So they're kind of secure at the moment. Carolina Railhawks in third place with 18 points. Indy 11 in fourth place with 17 points. Minnesota United, Ottawa Fury, San Antonio Scorpions are tied for fifth place with 15 points. Minnesota United at the moment, even on the differential. Ottawa Fury, a minus one on the differential at sixth place. San Antonio Scorpions with a minus five on the differential, seventh place. Fort Lauderdale Strikers and FC Edmonton are tied for eighth with 13 points. Fort Lauderdale has a minus one on the differential. FC Edmonton has a minus two on the differential. Jacksonville Armada in 10th place right now with 12 points. And in last place combined, Atlanta Silverbacks with 11 points. 12 games played, 2 wins, 5 draws. 5 losses, 9 goals scored, 15 allowed. So right there and then, that is what is going on combined-wise on the standings here in the North American Soccer League. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we will go to the schedule for the fall season as we get ready for the next round of games. And once again, it's a lot of fun when we're talking about these games. And don't forget now, on Wednesday nights, we have games being broadcasted live on One World Sports. And we still have Watch ESPN or ESPN3 doing weekend games, so it should be a lot of fun going on here. First, the midweek game, Minnesota United will be taking on Jacksonville Armada Wednesday night, July the 15th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, and that'll be at the National Sports Center Stadium in Blaine, Minnesota. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, San Antonio Scorpions will be hosting FC Edmonton over at Toyota Stadium. Toyota Field. There's three soccer stadiums sponsored by Toyota, so they got a lot of money. So that'll be on Wednesday, July the 15th. And then for the rest of the weekend, on Saturday, July the 18th, Carolina RailHawks hosting San Antonio Scorpions at Wake Med Soccer Park, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Fort Lauderdale Strikers hosting the Atlanta Silverbacks at Lockhart Stadium. That's also 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Jacksonville Armada hosting the New York Cosmos for the first time at Community First Park, and that'll be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time down in Jacksonville. Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting FC Edmonton at Al Lang Stadium. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. All three Florida teams will be hosting the same night. Minnesota United hosting a international friendly, actually, at against Club Leon from Mexico. That's at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central start at the National Sports Center Stadium. And then Ottawa Fury on Sunday, the July 19th, I should go to. Ottawa Fury hosting the Indy 11 at TD Place over in Ottawa, Ontario, 3 o'clock Eastern start time. So for Minnesota United, they will be playing a friendly against one of Mexican clubs, one of the clubs from Mexico, from Liga MX and Club Leon, who had that one great year. Unfortunately, when you lose the captain of the Mexican national team, or was once the captain of the Mexican national team, and Rafa Marquez, you're going to go downhill very, very, very fast. So, still, situation that for, once again, if you want to see the in the NASL, it's just a situation where it's interesting. It's, on, it's very, 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 very strange to see going forward a as they do all these fun things and with the NASL. So, you know, Club Leon coming in with a friendly. But still, it's a situation where Minnesota is going to play, as they'll be off on their bye week, as they say. So it should be interesting. So after everything going on, hey, what are you going to say? It's pretty good what's going on here, and you know what? It's a little strange if you think about it, just a little strange, not too much, but at the moment the Cosmos are in, you know, in the fall season standings in second place, or I shouldn't say second place, I should say by the bottom. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with the combined standings and how badly that could put them in. But we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to be there permanently. I think the Cosmos will find a way to get out of this, and they'll be fine, and they'll just be, you know, just the, you know, as the Cosmos have done. They will be okay, and I think they're going to climb back up. But just to say, to see the two Canadian teams in first and second place, respectively, in the fall season standings, it's not bad. It's pretty cool. But then again, it's all about who's going to make the playoffs in those three extra spots. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, the fall season just got underway. I don't think, you know, we can start saying the Cosmos are on a losing streak or anything like that. That's not going to happen right now. But all I can say is that it's an interesting situation where they are at the moment. And we shall see how things are, you know, when we get ready to have some of these games continue on in the fall season. It should be interesting. Like I always say, it's always going to be interesting with an NASL season. So let's go ahead and talk about the New York Red Bulls here. Let's talk about Jesse Marsh. Because I want to be clear again, and I being on the record here, Columbus, Ohio, we saw, you saw, I saw Jesse Marsh walking away from his technical area. He was already halfway to Greg Berhalter's section. I mean, he's already walking across Berhalter's technical area. So, you know, you have to say that, okay, Jesse got suspended. Jesse's going to get suspended for the next game, which would be against New England Revolution. There's no bones about it. He got sent off. You know, he didn't want to see that happen. Obviously, he was frustrated in the game because of the two handballs that were not called. And you're saying to yourself, ah, Jesse's done for this coming Saturday against New England. So I attended training over at the Red Bull facility, the New York Red Bulls training facility in Hanover, New Jersey. And I was talking to the communication staff, and I said, well, it's going to be tough to see Jesse not being on the bench Saturday. And they said, Jesse's not suspended. I'm like, what? And apparently there was no word given to the Red Bulls by the disciplinary committee that Jesse Marsh was going to be suspended for this coming Saturday. Apparently, they said, I was told he walked off on his own. And I'm like, okay, walked off on his own. No problem. I never thought I'd hear that or see that. I thought he's going to get tagged for the game, for this past Saturday's game against the Revolution. And then, you know, Jesse didn't want to talk about the referees and everything. And my point, I wasn't asking him, like, you know, talk about the yellow card or the non-handballs or anything. I wasn't trying to get there. All I wanted it from him was, you know, why did you walk off upset? Did you take yourself away? Did you decide to walk away yourself? And he didn't want to talk about it, and that's fine. No problems at all. I didn't have a problem with, you know, how Jesse felt, and that's fine. He doesn't want to talk about the referees, doesn't want to talk about either, you know, walking off on his own without being sent off. That's fine. I didn't have a problem with it. It's okay. And then you get to Red Bull Arena. And when you get to Red Bull Arena, you find out that the disciplinary committee, I don't know what happened. I don't know why they informed Jesse Marsh and the Red Bulls late that he is going to be suspended for this past Saturday's game against the New England Revolution. To me, that is a gross misconduct of information that should have been delivered that Thursday or on Friday and given information to the media and to the Red Bulls. That was, I will say this right now, and I don't care if the league will be upset if I say this, Bush League. That is absolutely Bush League. Not giving the proper time to inform the Red Bulls and to inform Jesse Marsh that he will be suspended for the match against the New England Revolution. I understand everyone was happy that the USA women won the World Cup. You go out, you partied. But you know what? If there's a possible suspension coming, and it is written in the rule book of Major League Soccer that, you know, he was going to get tagged for it regardless. And I knew he was going to get tagged for it, Jesse. But still, how about you inform the media and you inform the Red Bulls at a proper time? Because I'm being honest here. We were all under the impression Jesse got away with being suspended. Because, unfortunately, there was no camera angle showing the referee walking up to Jesse Marsh, and it was referee Juan Guzman who walked up to Jesse Marsh and to tell him, sir, you have been suspended. You are getting your walking papers, and you're leaving now. None of that. And the truth is that it's a shame that we have to talk about that. We have to talk about the league being tardy on informing the Red Bulls that Jesse Marsh will not be allowed to coach in his technical area this past Saturday. Word from the Red Bull communication office at Red Bull Arena Saturday afternoon, almost late Saturday afternoon. I, to be honest with you, I am not happy with how it went down. Now, once again, I always thought that Jesse was going to get suspended. When you get no official word from the league, 2 days, even a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, that he's not going to be managing in his technical area, that's where we're concerned here. While it's great for Commissioner Don Garber to go out and promote the game of soccer during a Women's World Cup parade, the Canyon of Heroes, going up Broadway in New York City, and I'm grateful for that as well, to be honest with you, it is a travesty and it's disgusting that the league cannot properly inform the New York Red Bulls or any of their clubs, hey, your coach has been suspended for this match because he got sent off by the referee or the referee told him to leave. Only hope and pray this does not happen again. Because it's really a simple thing, isn't it? If your head coach is going to be suspended, give that club the proper time to prepare. Dennis Hamlett did take over this match for the Red Bulls. He looked pretty good in the suit. And how about that opening 12 minutes? My God, what the hell happened there? I'll tell you what happened. It's a response saying, this is for you, Jesse. This is for you in believing in your players. They are happy to see you do this. They are thrilled to see you do this. And you know what? It was absolutely brilliant to see Bradley Wright Phillips once again getting on the score sheet, converting twice. Absolutely a brilliant performance by Bradley Wright Phillips. Not only scored twice, he also assisted on the Lloyd Sam goal, who was in an offside position originally? Yes. Did he put himself back into an onside position? Yes. Because he didn't go that deep off. And when Mike Grella got the ball, he put himself back quickly into an onside position. And then he goes in, scores on Bobby Shuttleworth, and the Red Bulls go up 2-0. Another fantastic goal from Bradley Wright Phillips. Of course, that third goal that he scored, it was absolutely brilliant how he beat Shuttleworth, who came off his line. He beat him, shot in front of him, and then converted right inside the far post. Now, we want to go back to that first goal. Lloyd Sam, once again, walks to the edge of the end line, and it's another cross where Bradley Wright Phillips is right there. He heads it in this time, but that's almost the same type of cross. The same type of cross that Sam gave to Wright Phillips to make it 1-0 against New York City FC. That was absolutely brilliant. That was wonderful to watch. I was flabbergasted to see that type of goal happen. It was great. Three goals in the first 12 minutes. New England gets their goal, obviously, but let's be honest right now, they are just not what they were. It's another slump in the summer for them. Talking with members of New England soccer today, telling me that, you know, right now they believe that Jay Heaps is, you got to question his coaching right now. Do I think you have to question his coaching? Probably, because let's be honest, while we know that Jermaine Jones is a vital part of the New England attack, especially coming off soon with the sports hernia surgery that he just went through, I think right now Jermaine Jones is the big reason why they're getting questions all over the place. So all I can say is that, you know, these questions need to be answered. And I really believe that for Jermaine Jones, he needs to get back out there quickly. But you know what? I will agree with Sean Donahue. I talked to him on Twitter on this last night. You know, there is no reason for this Revolution team to be this bad. They should have been better. They should have done better. And the truth is that it's just, you know, you got a lot of questions being asked now. And let's be honest, they shouldn't be asked at all. They should be attacking and they should be doing a lot better. But anyway, congratulations to Anthony Wallace. He got his first goal as a Red Bull in MLS play on Saturday night. A long distance rip deflects off a defender of the Revolution and past Shuttleworth harmlessly, but not harmlessly for Bobby. And that was probably a tough one to swallow. But still, a 4-1 win for the New York Red Bulls. And to discuss that victory, here is Dennis Hamlett, the interim head coach for the evening.
All right. One quick remark for the game. I thought our guys came out with the right mindset from the get-go. We were aggressive, in attack mode, and you know, the game's first 15 minutes, we're pretty good, probably the best we've played all year. So we weathered the storm a little bit the second half, got a goal, and then we finished the game on. So overall, 3 points we talked about was important for us to get, and we got it tonight. So.
Yes, we'll go to you, right?
Dennis, could you talk about the genesis of the past 36 hours, finding out you were going to have to fill in for Jesse, with what the communication was like going over the game plan, and then on a personal note, what it meant for you, your first MLS win as a head coach since 2009?
A long time. we kind of had a feeling he might be suspended. I'm surprised the letter came out on Friday morning. But, you know, we had a good week of training. You know, we talked about it. And the message was to our guys, you know, you guys take over. You know, we've been together now 17 games in, so we know who we are, what we're about. And I think tonight those guys stepped on the field and showed it. So I think it's, you know, just the same message, different voice.
We'll go center here, Frank.
Dennis, I mean, the three goals originated from a lot of attack on the right side. Did you see something with the left side or defense that helped you take advantage?
Well, you know, having Lloyd and Mike, we feel there are two guys that are good on the flanks. And so we felt like from the get-go, we wanted to make sure that we put their defenders on their heels. And I think that opens up the middle of the field for Bradley. And I think he was able to benefit from their ability to break guys down on the flanks.
That's a good year, Lynn.
Can you just talk about what happened maybe tactically in those first 12 minutes that saw you guys rattle off those eagles?
No, I think it's the credit to the guys. My message to them and with Jesse all this week was we want to make sure that at home we're in attack mode. We want to take the game to the team. And tonight those guys were able to do that. And I think once they get going, then it's just, we finish the chances, which, I think we've created a lot of chances this year. At home, we just didn't finish them. And so tonight we were able to finish them, and I think it makes the game a little easier.
We'll stay to you off.
Dennis, Luis Robles has another spectacular night at net. How impressed are you with how he's able to stop those shots, especially a couple of those line drivers late in the second half?
He's been solid all year. He's come up with big saves for us all season. And so we talked about getting a shutout tonight, so I think he's a little bit disappointed we didn't get that. But I think he's been excellent for us all season.
It's now been two starts this year for Anthony Wallace. First time he's had an MLS start since, I believe, June 2011, somewhere around there. So it's now twice in the season. Just talk about his development a little bit and the confidence and how the USL has been able to help him with his development and his sharpness.
No, I think you're right. I think the other start he had was in Columbus, and he had obviously tonight. But, he's a guy that's been around, been patient, and the moment hasn't really come up that much. And I think he's taking advantage of taking the stuff we've learned, trained with the first team and gone down with the reserves with the Red Bull 2 and applied it. And so we felt like when this moment came, he would be ready for that. And it's not an easy game to go into tonight, with Teal. sometimes Teal, sometimes Agudelo. But I felt like tonight he was the executive, of course. He defended well, he got forward. So he did all the things that we wanted, so we're happy for him.
Go to your left.
Dennis, two questions. The recent weeks we've seen Bradley out of the left wing, today he's back up top. What did you see from him in his more natural position? And what was the thought process into taking Caballo off the starting lineup after he's been so hot lately?
You know, we felt like, you know, the first part was with Lloyd being healthy, you know, putting our group on the field, we were able to attack teams on both sides of the flanks, and then it opens up the middle for Bradley. And I think his ability to stretch the defense and come underneath, I think it helps us. And so now when you can sort of put the complete package together, you kind of get what you saw tonight. Abang's been good. He's a young player. He's still learning. You know, we're happy with him. And so tonight it was a difficult decision for him. But, you know, we felt like this is the team that we wanted to put on the field. And then to their credit, they took advantage of it.
Just a second, bring up the
after the Columbus loss, to get the team a couple of days off, how much did that help to get ready for the game?
A lot. You know, we've had a crazy stretch with so many games and for the Heat and big games. You know, you think about in terms of the New York game and then playing the Cosmos, two important games just because of the proximity of the teams. So I think that takes a lot of you mentally, also physically. So it's important for us to give the guys a couple of days where they can just sort of shut down, you know, recharge their batteries and get ready for an important stretch because we know now that, you know, 16 out of the 17 games are going to be in conference games. So we want to make sure we get off on the right start.
All right. Thank you,
Dennis Hamlet, the interim head coach for the suspended Jesse Marsh. And all you can say is, look, they played well. More than they played well. They destroyed the Revolution. My God, 4-1. And if that's not playing well, I don't know what is. But, geez, 3 inside the first 12 minutes of the match. That was unbelievable. That was just absolutely clinical finishing to start the game, and it's just been lights out. Absolutely lights out for the New York Red Bulls. And you just have to say that, you know, they did what they had to do. And let's go right now to the captain of the New York Red Bulls in Dax McCarty.
Can you talk us through those first 12 minutes, obviously, you know, shapes the game, but how are you guys so effective going forward in that short span?
Oh, wow. I don't know, it's kind of a blur, isn't it? We talked before the game about having a good start, and the word that I used was just, let's be ruthless. This is a team that, you know, has given us trouble the past couple times we've played them, and I think it's mainly because they've outfought us and outworked us and beat us up on the physical end. So we wanted to make sure we set the tone early from the opening whistle, and you always want to get an early goal. Obviously getting 3 is, you know, it's like hitting the jackpot. So credit to the guys, the front 4, you know, in the midfield. I mean, some nice goals, you know, and to get them all in the first 12, 13 minutes is obviously the perfect way to start the game. And, you know, we've created chances like that all year. We just haven't been clinical enough in front of the goal. And tonight, you know, we were ruthless. And that was the best part about our performance tonight is, you know, we the game was a little back and forth, and certainly New England had their chances. But I think tonight the difference in the game was those first 13 minutes where we were ruthless.
You mentioned the clinical finishing. I mean, is that really the only difference in the attack between, you know, this stretch where you guys have been pouring in a few goals as compared to, you know, late May when they weren't coming?
I think that the movement and the understanding between the front 4 is getting a lot better. I think it's easy to see that Sasha is getting a much higher comfort level with Bradley, Lloyd, Mike, Sal, Abang when he's in, you know, and then obviously me, Sasha, and Felipe, we continue to try to grow and make our relationship a little bit better. So, you know, the goals tonight, they come from really good combination play, and they come from really clever movement in the final third, and those are things that we work on constantly, and sometimes it doesn't come off, and sometimes, you know, it gets frustrating because it doesn't come off and you don't score goals, but on nights like tonight, when it comes off, it feels really good because it validates everything that we're trying to work on and do in training.
When you found out Jesse was going to get suspended for tonight, was that extra motivation to go out there to put on a performance like you did?
I don't know if it was extra motivation, but it certainly reinforces the mantra of our team, which is, you know, and this is what Jesse constantly says is, you know, this is your guys' team. This is the players' team, and the coaches are obviously here to give us guidelines and to make sure that, you know, we're doing things the right way. But ultimately, it comes down to the players on the field making plays and making sure that, you know, we're up for every single game, because the coaches can only do so much. So I think tonight the players took it upon themselves to really, you know, step up for Jesse in his absence. And then obviously Dennis and Chris and John Wolinek, you know, these guys, they prepared us really well. And I think those guys were, you know, didn't miss a beat when Jesse wasn't there. So I just think it reinforces the, you know, the family mantra that we try to, you know, preach here. And this is the players' team. And, you know, we are all in this together, and the coaches are a really important part of that. But at the end of the day, the guys that are going to get the job done are the guys on the field. And so even if Jesse was on the sideline or not on the sideline, you know, we have to make sure that we're doing a good job, you know, the 11 guys on the field and the guys on the bench, of making sure that we know our jobs and we do our jobs.
You're missing several players on the Gold Cup, and Anthony Wallace just plugs in a hole that you need desperately. How pleased are you with his performance tonight, especially converting in the second half, that you laid off the ball for him?
Yeah, no, I'm really happy for Wally. You know, he's obviously signed for a reason, because the coaching staff saw something in him and saw that, you know, he's a guy that can get the job done, and he's a very good player. So we knew we were going to be missing Roy and most likely Kamar for the Gold Cup, so they signed Wally with every intention of having him step up and play and make sure that he gets the job done. So couldn't be more proud of him for his performance. Not only did he get the goal, but I thought for the most part he was really good defensively, really tuned in. And obviously New England, you know, they have a really dangerous attacking trio, a quartet, if you will, in Bunbury and Charlie Davies, Lee Wynn, and Juan Aguadillo. So I thought he was very good. I think Teal Bunbury has given us fits the past couple times we've played against them. And we, you know, I told Anthony, listen, this is a tough assignment for you. You know, Teal has had his way with us the last couple times he's played us. So he stepped up to the challenge. He was ready for it. I thought he was very, very good defensively. You know, I was hard on him a little bit at the end of the first half because he was, you know, getting a little casual, but he took it in stride, and I thought he was very good tonight.
You talked about going into this game, like the physicality of New England, especially in that first game in New England, they kind of bullied you a little bit. Did you come out and make that a conscientious effort to set the tone and kind of fight back in that way?
100%. It's no secret that I think the guys in this locker room, you know, we will tell you we really, really don't like New England. And I'm sure they'll say the same thing. I mean, I'm friends with a bunch of those guys off the field, but on the field, they're a team that pisses me off more than most other teams in the MLS. So, and that's good. You know, that shows that it's a real rivalry and that it's real. You know, we've played them in some big games. We've had some really intense battles with them, and that, you know, that leads to that desire to beat them and to make sure that, you know, you get the best of them. And let's be honest, they got the best of us last year, and you know, they denied us a chance to go to MLS Cup, which was really frustrating. So every time we play them, we want to step on the field and set the tone, and I think the past couple times we played them, we haven't. You know, we haven't done a good job of matching their physicality. That's what they try to do, is they try to bully you. They try to, you know, get you frustrated. But I think tonight we stepped up to that challenge, and I think we, you know, dished out a little bit ourselves tonight. So it's a good feeling, obviously, stepping off the field and winning 4-1. I mean, it's a good feeling, especially coming against them.
And that is Dax McCarty. Also, Bradley Wright Phillips. Let's go ahead and listen to what he has to say about that match.
Any questions for Lloyd Sam before he slips away, Bradley?
What them trousers you wearing?
Brad, can you take us through those first 12 minutes? What exactly went down that, you know, you guys were able to score so willingly?
Excellent performance. I think I said to Lloyd and Sasha when I got on the bench, I was proud to be, you know, part of the team. These are the kind of things that we do in training, and today it came off. The first 12 minutes, we won the game.
Did it help to have the 2 days off at the beginning of the week and then a full week's preparation for the game?
I'm not sure. Maybe. You have to tell Jesse to do it again and we'll see if it works again. But it was, I definitely felt sharp. I think everyone looked sharp, and yeah, the results speak for itself.
Did you enjoy being back up top? Because, you know, you've been playing on the wing the past recent weeks.
No, from the heart, I honestly don't mind. You know, I feel like anywhere attacking, I like to play. You know, you can still get chances from the left. As you see, Lloyd and Mike have a good goal tally, so there's still goals out there to be scored. I don't really mind, you know. As long as we perform like we did in the first half, we'll be happy.
When you found out Jesse was going to be suspended for tonight, was there like any extra motivation to just to show Jesse that this one's for you?
A little bit, because it's something he drills into us. He wants us to, you know. He tells us all the time that it's our team, you know, where we're just as important as he is. And today I think we showed that. We were organized and we got the job done.
You went through a spell a few weeks ago. I think six matches without scoring.
Yeah.
Now three goals.
Is how long it was.
Yes. we can say it now after the fact. Now three goals in three games. Is it starting to feel clicking? Is it starting to feel like the goal looked like it did last year?
I don't know, because I haven't felt, you know, like I'm not going to score. Every game I go out, I think I'm going to get a chance and I might score. I just feel like it's one of these seasons for me, you know. Like I said to you guys in the beginning of the season, I wanted to balance out. I wanted more assists. And I think, you know, I don't think you're going to get 27 goals and 27 assists. You know, it's one of those things. I think I'm doing more for the team and I'm enjoying it.
Can you talk a little bit about that? There was a set piece the free kick that almost came there. Was that something that you probably would have tried anything? You would have tried anywhere? Was that just the confidence in which you lead that you went, here's one from the back pocket?
No, honestly, it's something that we've worked on in training, but it's never been the right situation. We usually line up and set up for it, but the defenders are a little bit more clued into it. These defenders wasn't sure what was happening, and it could have been a great goal.
Was it the best offensive first 30 minutes that you've seen
this
year?
For sure, easily. Like I said already, I felt so proud. It felt like everything was clicking. We wasn't losing many balls. It was nice quick combinations, and we were getting goals as well.
You guys have won three of the last four now, and
yes.
In those three, you've scored at least three goals. I mean, what's the difference in the attack over the last few weeks as compared to, you know, the end of May, beginning of June?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I think it was always going to take time. You know, we're a learning team. You got to remember, a lot of us just came together this season. I think because we started so well, everybody thought that it was, you know, done and dusted. We're still learning, and I think today was an example of what could be.
Can you talk about Anthony's performance, because you're missing a couple of fullbacks due to Gold Cup duty? How is his performance, especially converting?
Anthony was amazing today. I think he done well. It's so difficult to come in, you know. He's been the third choice left back, and it shows the depth we got in the squad. We've got Roy, Kamar, and Anthony. And if we got two people missing and he can fill in like this, we're going to have no worries. He was brilliant today and deserved his goal.
Just talk about your performance and getting the first goal.
Such a relief, man. I mean, it was a pleasure and a delight and an honor to be a part of something like that, especially in the first half, what we put on to them. And I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start, and I can't thank my teammates enough for that.
Starts have been few and far between for you since probably about 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a point where you thought this just may not be in the works for you at this point?
No, I mean, it's always kind of been a thing throughout my career where I've been hitting rough patches of not starting, so I just have to always be mentally and physically prepared for when it comes.
When you found out that you were going to be starting, did the week seem a little bit more intense for you? Did it take on a little bit extra energy, if you will, during training?
No, not at all. I mean, I've always been able to keep myself mentally sharp and tuned in, so it wasn't overwhelming or anything like that. I didn't have to change any of my tactics, any of my preparation.
Obviously, those matches in the USL League have helped you out here, and of course, you had a quick start early in the season at Columbus. Talk about just playing in the USL League, and what did I tell you about that rip that's going to come back and you have another one in the MLS play?
No, it's been great to get games in with the USL team. You know, it keeps me sharp, it keeps me tuned in, it keeps me fit, most importantly, and it keeps me at a high level for whenever I'm able to step in with the first team.
And once again, that's Anthony Wallace there, and that will be the end of our show, ladies and gentlemen. It's a quick one, only an hour. Second hour will be later tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. The United States taking on Panama in their final CONCACAF Gold Cup Group A match. Probably all the stars will get a rest. They got 6 points in the group. They are 4 points ahead of Panama. So even if they lose the game, it's not going to be a big deal. But anyway, enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy your football. I will talk to you later tonight, USA postgame show. Bye-bye for now. Take care, everybody.